You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Coach Unplugged. I'm so happy you decided to join us. Before we get started today, I'd like to give a big shout out to our sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish, the number one shoe machine in the market. I've said this multiple times. We own three of them. I want a fourth and a fifth. My AD's listening to me, but they're so great. They work so well. They're so easy to set up. I think my record is 37 seconds or 32 seconds to set it up. But mention Coach Unplugged, they'll give you $450 off. Mention Coach Collins, they'll take really good care of you. And also go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. It is a one-stop shop for basketball coaches. It's everything you need from a nationally ranked, we won three state titles. I think we were just talking recently, we've won over 460 games in our program and lost 130 over the last 20 years. And I think we know the secret sauce to be successful, the roadmap, what it takes on and off the court. So go over and check it out and enjoy the podcast.
Let's get off the podcast. We're doing a good job. We keep moving forward.
Keep moving, chugging.
Skill development. I mean, skill development is a huge topic, but how do you incorporate skill development in a regular season practice in regards to your high school practice?
That's a great, so first of all, we only have them realistically. So everybody around the country is different, but let's use Wisconsin, middle of November to beginning of March, end of February is where regular season would end. So that's the stretch. That's the only time we can have contact unless we're in that open window in the summer. So we have so let's go November, December, January, February, 3.5-4 months. I would love if we had contact and were able to work on skill development longer, but we don't. I think it's an important part. I think you got to pick the skills that are important to work on. One that I've tried to get better at is shooting throughout the season. We've talked about this. I look back to some of my teams. And it's like, oh my God, I don't even know if we ever took a shot. Like, you know what I mean? It was all like working on press, all the other stuff. So that is one place that I've really tried to work on skill development is shooting. Because I'm convinced now, especially through my son, that if you take off too long, you lose it. You can even be a good shooter and you lose it. It's kind of like a golf swing or someone hitting a curveball. You'll lose it if you don't use it. So that's the first thing. I think that's a skill development that needs work. One that we're building into our program is screening. I think it's an underutilized skill. They don't know how to do it properly. They don't know how to set it up. They don't know how to set it. They don't know how to do that. So that's another skill development. The problem is, I don't know about you, Coach, but you got this hour and 45 minutes. How much of that piece of that pie can you use in skill development? I would say about a third is where I've landed now. I wish it was more. You know, and it depends on how you buckle skill development into one specific thing. So it might be closer to a half if you look at our small-sided games and things like that. But so what do you think? I mean, I think it's important. I would love to, like, do an hour of skill.
I think it's, like, really about the level that you coach in high school.
Ooh, that's true.
Are both of us being varsity coaches and having to mentor and work with coaches that are below us. I think it's really important that skill development is a more of a necessity for them. And we don't look at always wins and losses, but we look about progression instead of perfection.
Yeah.
And so we look at little gaps where we can make that group better so they can come to us at that highest level to make us a better program. I think often we can't treat every practice as a varsity basketball practice at the younger levels in the high school.
Yeah, I like that. I think you're right about that in the sense that it should almost be the higher up, the less you're doing specific skill sets. Like the Bucks aren't
absolutely
working at specific. So I think that's true. That when we're down in
that's
the
how eighth, actually the USA basketball model is. If you've ever taken a U.S. basketball development class, and I've taken it for like younger grades to teach coaches,
right,
it goes like a huge pendulum of, you know, real world game like, and it should continue to move up higher percentages as the kids get older. And the goal is that by the time they get to the highest level of high school, your percentage is about 25 to 30% skill development and 70% game based or small sided or other things in relationship to, you know, the game.
Well, I like that. Yeah. I mean, what does USA basketball say about skill development? Totally.
It should be, I think that it's really something that they want younger kids to be doing at an earlier age, and developing that.
Okay.
And
so it's more like the European model. Yeah.
Yes. As regards to skill development, I think shooting is something that you always got to make time and practice, for sure. I think, you know, ball handling, but I'm talking about battling, just the simple fact of handling pressure. I think handling pressure
physical,
is
physical. And again, I'm talking about the highest level at the high school level, but I'm just talking about the physicality of ball handling too.
Yes.
I'm not just talking. I mean, my guys can handle the rock. It's more like, what are you doing when you're getting fouled and bumped and
right,
all that kind of stuff? Yeah.
So, and I think another thing is like not always doing everything in isolation. You got to be able to be creative and do multiple skills at one time.
Yep.
So
yep,
whether it's being strong in the basketball, ripping through, ball handling into finishing, boom, shooting into conditioning, this and that. Like you just can't be doing static drills at the high school level. You got to be doing more. You got to get more out of it.
You don't have time. I mean, yep. I know that's the big thing with everybody's talking about all these small. I've been doing that for 30 years. I just never knew what it was called because, like,
right,
I can't just work. I don't have time. I don't have time to just do a passing drill. I don't have time to do
right, or form shooting into
I've
rubber
never
shooting.
Done that. In 30 years, I've never done that. So I don't know. This isn't like right, nuclear physics that they're telling you to do. I've always had three or four components in everything that I've done. You had to, or I don't know, you won't get stuff done.
Right.
Yeah,
it's like as a teacher, we don't just teach one skill in isolation.
Right.
As they get older, they're
right,
doing multiple things at one time, from doing algebra to a story problem to this or that. That's just how the game is. It becomes more complicated. So another thing too is with skill development, try to pick a couple drills that you know and you want to use and get them good at it, so you don't have to spend time teaching it. So you can get the minute right out of it. Boom, boom, boom. You know.
Yep. And that goes back to the tryout thing too. I always like throwing a couple of complicated things early in the first week
right,
or so, just to see how they adjust to it. Tryouts is a good time to do that, but it's also like once you've picked your team, it's like which kids are going to think on their feet and which ones aren't. You know, here's a new drill. Boom, boom, boom. Go do it. And then some of them are. I always like to see who's going to be able to maybe. Hopefully, at the end of a game, we've diagrammed everything up, but they're going to be able to quickly. How quick can they process the basketball part of it, I think, is important.
Yeah, but I think also if you can layer it within what you're already doing within your system, it's
right,
huge too.
Yeah.
So one of my favorite drills I used to do is just perfect passing where the guys can grind for a minute or so to get 25 passes complete. Why can't you do that by running your offense too? Can you do that by running your offense and make 25 successful passes? You know, can you use those things to build that? You know, can you do finishing drills within the context of your offense from a screen into something else? You know, can you possibly build in what your system is doing and do your skill development around that? I think you totally can. You know, if you're going to be a flare shooting team, you know, doing flare screens, you can do tons of flare screening shooting drills all the time and build on your shooting, also perfecting your craft within your offense.
Right. I agree. All right. Anything else? I mean, you got to find space for it.
Right. But I also think it comes down to strategic planning. You just got to go look back again and again. We always talk about the why. Why are we doing this? Be strategic about it. Take the extra time and make sure everything that you're doing within your skill development, your offense, and your defense those first several weeks, it's meaningful. Because then you can spend less time teaching that and get more out of it.
Right. So
you go for an hour and 40 minutes instead of 2 hours because you spent 20 minutes trying to teach them something, they already know what they're doing in an hour and 40 minutes. An hour and 40 minutes solid, you're done, and your rapport is good, and you get out of the gym some days.
Right.
Like, that's good for your team.
Yeah, and if your offense doesn't have any dribbling in it, don't spend time working on your ball handling. Like, you know,
yes. It's
like if you're running dribble drive, then you better work on some of those movements. I think that's a big part too. Yeah, I agree, Coach. All right, what's the question of the week?
So, when you first became a coach, what is the first big win for you as a coach? What was your first big win?
It was either the first or second game. It was a holiday tournament at Memorial, and Chad Nelson, I'll never forget, hit a big shot. I don't have it on tape because something happened. I don't know. But he hit a big shot to win it. I think we were 7-14. It's my only losing season as a head coach. But I remember that game because it was like, holy crud, we better have stuff down this. I mean, it was a close game back and forth, and we ended up winning it. Not because of me. I had nothing to do with it. It's like something, the ball bouncing, you know, in the right spot, it'd be nice to, first game is a win, last game's a win. That's my goal. Because if your last game's a win, it's a good season. I think that one, and then I would say season two or three or maybe even four when we beat Janesville Craig, which was a perennial Division I powerhouse in our state. For 15, 20 years when I was growing up. And I always told Coach Suter, I said, I knew my program was turning the corner when I beat you. So those would be the two big ones that I vividly remember as a young coach. What about you?
Oh, it was my first year coaching at the varsity level. I think we were 5-18. It was a very, very difficult start. We started 0-7 within the season. We had some kids suspended for a drinking party. We had kids with injury. One of my best players broke his kneecap. It was a long, long season. So we were the 12th seed, and one of our neighboring towns, which is Campbellsport, was the 5th seed. We went out to Campbellsport, and it was just a game where it was the playoffs, and everything clicked at the right point. We're down by 9 within the third quarter. We still had quarters, and one of my seniors just got hot, and I just ran a motion offense and just kept setting screens and kept making shots. And we got the ball with 5 seconds left. I called a timeout, and I set a play that I used to run when I was a middle school basketball coach, and they fouled him in the free throw. He made all 3 free throws, and we won the playoff game. And that was my first big signature win that I'll never forget. Because I think that community had not won a playoff game in like over 5 or 6 years.
Years.
You know,
and then what happened?
We were 12 seed, and they were 5 seed. That was huge.
And then what happened? So the 5 seed ended up playing. You were 12. Who'd you play the next round then?
Columbus. We got pummeled. So, but you know what? That kind of gave me some momentum for a little bit more success as I moved on coaching varsity for another 5-6 years and then moving on to collegiately. But that was just a win I'll never forget. It was very special to me.
Isn't it? I tell the boys too, I said, I remember high school wins. Like those things are ingrained. They're like, it's not traumatic, but there's an imprint. Like you just that feeling, you can just feel it in your body right now. I know.
It's like crazy. A human connection with the game. You know, this kid has never been a good free throw shooter. I had him screen and he got fouled. And I mean, what kind of most likely referee never calls a shooting foul at the end of the game? They foul him a 3-pointer and he makes all 3 of them and wins the game. You know,
right.
It just doesn't
happen. He'll remember that the rest of his life.
I got that on. And I still got that game. I still use that play, and I call it. His last name is Van Cray. I call the play Van Cray after him. I still, to to that day call it Van Cray just because Seth was able to make that shot. I never forget that.
I know. That's
and
awesome.
That's why we do what we do, coach. Right.
Right. It is.
You know, that's why we do it.
It's an adrenaline. It's a drug, people. People are listening to this. It's a drug. It's the adrenaline drug is what it is. Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right. Till next week, coach.
Great game.
Sports Social Podcast Network.